You've tuned in to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Do you realize what you've done?
With Rich Liebig.
The real gangster plays his cards, right?
And Michael Costanzo.
What was that that you just read?
Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
What's up, everybody?
It's time for this week's episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. Folks, it's our job to give you the most interesting tidbits in the world of sports, entertainment, odd news, and whatever else we happen to stumble across. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right. We bring it to you with our unique sense of humor and wackiness. You never know what you're going to get here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. We have topics prepared for you, but that doesn't mean we won't go off the beaten path and talk about other tidbits if we have to. This is the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Thank you for tuning in on this crazy week. A very random cold spell hit the area this week.
Yeah, it was flurrying.
Yeah, a brief snow squall hit the area this week, causing people to panic. It's been,
I don't like it.
You don't like it?
No, it's too cold.
Too cold? Now you went from too hot to too cold.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's just how I roll. No, because you know what it is? It, like, all of a sudden, it's like snap, and it changes instantly. Yeah. You know?
But, you know, here we are. We're still getting through it. Don't worry. Actually, I think by Friday, they said we're supposed to be...
Let's go back up to the 50s.
Right. We're still going to be out of it. So, just weather the storm a little bit, and everything will be all right. Just wear another layer.
That's what I've been doing.
That's all you got to do. I don't understand why people are freaking out about the cold. Like, literally, just wear another sweater. You're good.
It is uncomfortable. I get cold now. So it is uncomfortable.
Right. You get cold now.
I never used to get cold. I get cold now. So, yeah, I just wear more layers and I'm fine.
Yeah, that's all you got to do.
It's an easy solution.
Yeah.
I still haven't discovered the concept of gloves yet, though. Because I'm still...
What do you mean you haven't discovered the concept?
Because I'm so used to never wearing gloves. So I walk outside, my hands get real cold. And I'm like, I should start wearing gloves. I say that every time, and then I never do.
Okay, well, there you go. Christmas idea for Mike. Get him some gloves.
I have gloves. I'm just too stupid to wear them.
All right, at least so it goes. At least you admit it.
Oh, no, I admit it.
Well, you know, actually, you know what you should do?
What?
Keep a pair of gloves in the car.
That would be smart.
Well,
that would be smart.
This is your mental note right here. When you re-listen,
I'll re-listen to this,
and you're gonna remember. Hey,
re-listen to it in the car, and I'll go, damn, I forgot the gloves
again. Everyone, tweet at Michael Costanzo the whole weekend.
There you go.
Did you forget?
Hashtag gloves in the car.
Did you remember your gloves, Mikey? I'm gonna remind you every single.
That's what I need. I need reminders, just there gentle reminders.
All right,
but anyway,
but do it publicly on social media so we can embarrass him.
Of course.
All right, with that aside, Mike, how you doing? What else is happening in Costanzo country?
I'm good. I had a chance to go visit the Revolutionary War Museum in Philly, in Old City. It was fantastic. Have you ever been there? You didn't even know there was a Revolutionary War Museum, did you?
No, I did know that there was one, but I haven't been there.
It's really, really cool. If you're into history and you're looking for something to do, it doesn't take that long to make your way through the museum. It's a great little distraction. It was really amazing how, I guess, unbiased the whole thing was, because it showed you all the different perspectives. So it showed you the perspective of the British soldiers, the revolutionaries, the loyalists. It's something that they don't really teach in history classes. They showed, like, the Southern perspective, too, like the Southern battles and what was going on in the South during the Revolutionary War. You hear about, you know, the sacking of Philadelphia and all that stuff, but you never really hear about what was going on in the South. And some really powerful exhibits. They had exhibits devoted to the perspectives of African-American slaves and Native Americans during the Revolutionary War, an entire section devoted to those two groups of people. And it was...
Correct me if I'm wrong, but wasn't the British actually saying if you fight to the African-Americans, if you fight for the British, you'll get your freedom?
Yes, and that's exactly what the museum was talking about. It was like, this was a really difficult choice, and they had this... It's actually a really cool interactive little thing where you follow the story of a couple different African-American slaves, and at different points in the story, you get to choose. Should this woman leave on the British ship, or should she go back to her master? And depending on what you choose, you get to see the outcome of the story and what actually happened to this real person that they discovered their story through, like, piecing together little bits of information from, like, ledgers and notes and everything. It was really, really fascinating. But the two coolest parts, one is they had George Washington's actual tent from wherever he went with his soldiers, mm-hmm. Like the real tent. And that was really, really neat. And they talked about how it was like a symbol of unity and hope and strength and all that jazz, and, you know, how it made him the commander that he was, because he was on the field with his troops. He wasn't living in some house or mansion somewhere. He was like right there, his tent set up right next to his troops' tents. And the other cool thing was they had money from that era. And there was a bill that was two-thirds of a dollar. And I found that...
Exactly two-thirds?
Two-thirds of a dollar. I have a Magnum on my fridge.
So is it 66 cents repeating?
I have no idea. Like, I don't know. Somebody...
Is there a third cent?
No. There's a dollar and a two-thirds dollar piece.
So...
And I'm thinking, like, when they were making the money, they're like, ah, I don't know, this is too little, but a full dollar is too much. We need something in between. I know, two-thirds. And then somebody else got fed up and like, screw it, we're going to quarters.
Yeah, quarters seems much more...
Logical.
Logical.
I know. But yeah, two-thirds of a dollar.
That's weird.
And you know that it's notable because they had magnets and keychains and postcards. It was on the ticket to the museum.
Yeah.
This two-thirds of a dollar. Like, so they knew, like, this is going to get people going, this two-thirds of a dollar.
So if you have six of them...
So you're going to ask me to math. I can't do that.
If you have six of them, you have $4. Did I do math correctly?
You have four. If you have six two-thirds of a dollar note,
you have $4.
You have $4.
I did math.
Or you could have four $1 bills.
Yeah.
Or actually, it's $1 coins, two-thirds of a dollar bill.
That's just weird. Yeah, why would you do two-thirds?
It is super weird. You have to go to the museum and see it yourself.
Okay.
I'm not kidding you. Yeah, so anyway, long story short, awesome museum, awesome trip. Highly recommend it. It's fantastic.
All right, there you go. That's what Mike was up to.
Bringing you some academia here.
There you go.
On the podcast.
Testing my history.
Yeah. Rich, what have you been up to?
I caught up with some of our old friends. Remember Ghoul BC when they stopped by?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
They were back in the area. They have reformed their band, and they now go by Spirit.
Okay. Why the name change?
The name change is due to two reasons.
Lawsuits.
Not lawsuits. They've added more people to their band.
Okay.
They are now like a 7-piece band.
That's a lot of people.
And they've officially moved into the third era of Ghost now. They now operate with Papa 3 as their lead singer. And they played at the Queen in Wilmington. And it was good to see them and, you know, check up on them, say hi to the gang.
Yeah, yeah. How are they doing?
Yeah, they're doing great. And I got to give them credit, man. They still put on a great show. They even know the new songs.
Go-Goat.
Kiss the Go-Goat and Mariana Cross.
Nice.
So it's great to see that they're not only still active, but they're also like trying to keep up with whatever the newest Ghost songs are.
Well, you got to keep up with changing trends.
That's right. So it was great to see them. Got to say hi to them. And hopefully at some point we'll have them back on the podcast.
Yeah.
Although, I don't know. They keep growing. They're now a 7-man band. I don't know how many.
Well, we need to invest in a lot more microphones.
Right. We don't have that many microphones, so I don't know.
Well, I don't think we have that many inputs in the board.
Yeah, that too. So I don't know how we're going to...
And
pull that off.
And how the headphones, the amp only holds up to 8 headphones, I think.
Yeah, so we're going to be running out of room if we have all of them on. But nevertheless, it was good to see them. Keep an eye out for them. They're now under Spirit. They've reorganized.
Spirit or Spirits?
Spirit. No, Spirit.
One Spirit.
One Spirit, yeah.
7 people, 1 Spirit.
Right.
Okay. I just want to make sure I got it right.
And 4 albums they have to know off the top of their head.
I get it. It's all synonyms for ghost.
Yes.
Ghoul, spirit. The next one, you can take this, guys, Phantom.
Ooh, I would
You're
like that
welcome.
One.
My consultancy fee is $100 per idea.
Wow, there you go. Expert billing for Michael Costanzo.
$100 per dollar. Per bill.
So that means every bill you hand Mike has to be $100.
It has to be a $100 bill. Yeah. I will accept nothing less.
It must have Benjamin Franklin on it.
$102.
If I do not see Benjamin Franklin on the bill, I will get angry. Michael Costanzo.
That's right. So it has been said, so it shall be done.
$100 per bill. I want to see that on a billboard.
$100 per bill?
$100 per... What the hell is he talking about? $100 per bill. All right. Or are you saying every bill that you issue is only $100?
I was trying to say $100 per idea.
Yeah, but it came out per
bill. But it came out bill? I don't know why.
So there you go. Every invoice you sent out could also be $100.
Right. It's $100 flat.
There you go. Hey, that's actually pretty reasonable, depending on the service you offer.
Right, and I think I offer some great services.
Yeah,
like I gave that band a new name.
There you go.
When they
go to the next era,
right? Phantom. Yeah,
I would like to see that Phantom.
I'll give you the friends and family discount, $50.
Oh, that's sweet. That's sweet of you. All right. Well, we need to. speaking of bills, we need to look over our list of items that we need to get to. And we need to get to them immediately. The first batch of topics revolve around sports, and we call it the Sports Sampler.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports.
In your face.
Sports coming at you in your face here. And we're going to hit a quick topic in 2 minutes or less here in the 2 minute drill. You ready, Mike?
I'm ready.
All right. I have the clock armed. Go. What do you have, Mike?
All right. This week in the 2 minute drill, the stupidest timeline continues. Yes, folks. Antonio Brown is back, but not in the way you think. Former Pittsburgh, Oakland, New England wide receiver Antonio Brown is, quote-unquote, officially done for the season. The troubled wide receiver tweeted out a message late last week, quote, F at NFL. I'm going down another path. No more making money off my blood and sweat. No more control of my name and body. Clear my name.
Yeah,
I can't even read what I'm reading. I am done with it, so fantasy apps can let it go.
Hold on. All you have to really know is he said, F the NFL. That's it.
F the NFL.
That's it. He's done.
Yeah. Here we go. There's more.
No. Goodell is never going to let him back in the league after that one.
Yeah, he's done. Well, here you go. Here's the actual repercussions of it. A few days after that, ESPN reported that the NFL would be prepared to place Brown on the commissioner's exempt list should he sign with any other team, meaning basically that the team signing him would have to pay his salary, but he would not be permitted to practice or play until any league investigations are over. And Goodell, because it's a league investigation, can drag it on and on and on as long as he wants. And here's the thing, they might not end anytime soon, because Brown has yet to turn over the evidence requested from him. Still, though, Brown and his agent reversed course and said the wide receiver is determined to play again this season. Rich.
No, he's done. He's done.
Yeah.
Unless he goes to the XFL. There you go.
And their season's going to be starting up in March and April, I think?
Yeah, after
2020?
The Super Bowl. Yep.
Yeah, so maybe. Could you imagine if an XFL team signed Antonio Brown?
That sounds like something Vince McMahon would approve of.
Oh, absolutely. I don't think they should. He brings too much baggage and the off-the-field legal issues. Not good.
Yeah, but people are desperate. XFL! And there you
go. That's right. People are desperate, Rich.
That's
just
right.
Like the Philadelphia Eagles. We had a bye week. We made some moves. We got to talk about these moves. The biggest one we talked about last week, but it's official now. The Eagles officially signed two-time former wide receiver Jordan Matthews.
This is his third stint.
This is his third stint with the team.
He now matches every stint with his Twitter handle.
What?
Yeah, his Twitter handle is JMatt. So he now has a tenure for each one of those.
Nice. So all is right in the universe.
Right. Everything is balanced.
I like parallelism, so this is good.
Yeah.
But we talked about how this was one of the moves that needed to get done during the bye week, that we needed to address the issue with wide receiver. Rich, is this move enough? That's a big question.
Right.
I know that, but I don't care.
Right. I hate that you're framing the question like that, is it enough? Because on paper, it doesn't seem like it's enough.
But that's my issue.
But
okay, go ahead.
In terms of everything that the Eagles could have done during the bye week, I think it's what they needed to do. I don't know what other options are available out on the waiver wire or on the free agency pool. I mean, maybe Dez Bryant. I don't know. Who else would be available that you would want to bring in?
I mean, Dez Bryant's kind of washed up. People were floating around Antonio Brown,
no.
which, as we just talked about, is a bad idea. The reason why I frame it as, is it enough, is because it's clearly not enough. I'm fishing for a particular answer to emphasize the fact that
this
issue is, it comes down to how you build this team and how you coach and how you prepare. Because they should not have created it in such a way that you lose one speed wide receiver and it all goes to hell.
Well, here's the thing. We can't change how the team is built right now in week 11 of the NFL season.
No, we can't.
So I think...
But why not do something at the trade deadline?
Well, look, that's already spilt milk.
I know that's long gone and done, but...
We can't do anything about it now.
But all these moments just continue to emphasize for me this lack of investment in this year's team.
Well,
right?
You don't think picking up Jordan Matthews was a little bit of a help?
It was a little bit. I'll say this. His career catch percentage is better than Alshon and Aguilar.
I think you have an instant upgrade at least now. At least you know you have Matthews in the slot.
I think that you can... Well, here's the thing. I would put Matthews outside and let Aguilar go back into the slot where he excels.
Okay.
Aguilar's always been better in the slot. He works better on those crossing routes where he can catch the ball and do something with it after the catch. He's not good on deep routes. Which is what the outside receivers,
but you know,
run
you
a lot.
Also have you also have two stud tight ends.
Yeah,
you've realized now Jordan Howard is now a fixture in this offense. We said it, I think, last week. This team should come out in freaking either full house formation, power formation. I want to see stuff like that from this team.
I saw something really rare this past week of football, because the Eagles weren't on, so I watched some other games. The Packers game, it was snowing as they were playing the Panthers in Lambeau, and the Packers came out in a power eye formation.
Yeah.
Full back, two tight ends, and I'm like, yeah. If you can't throw the ball, if it's inclement weather, or if you're the Philadelphia Eagles...
Yeah, and our receivers aren't catching them.
You play to your other strengths, and our other strengths are power football. We have big possession receivers, we have really versatile tight ends, and we have a downhill runner. Play to those strengths.
Yep.
Play short ball. Play lots of crossing routes. Play tough running up the middle. This offensive line, one of the best in the league in run blocking. So, yeah, I completely agree. They need to play to their strengths. That's why I think Jordan Matthews should go outside. You know, he's another possession-type receiver, and just keep on leaning into those strengths. Don't try and – not that anybody's listening to us, but they're going to continue to try and be cute and force these players to do things that are outside their wheelhouse. They're going to force Aguilar to go deep. They're going to force
– Yeah, don't do that.
You know, it's
– Don't do that.
Whatever.
But speaking of the offensive line and the running the ball, that's a good transition into this announcement.
Yeah, absolutely. We just mentioned that they're excellent run blockers, and one of the best on the line is guard Brandon Brooks. The Eagles officially extended him with a four-year, $56.5 million deal, $30 million of which is guaranteed. It makes him the highest-paid guard in the NFL, which matches his highest Pro Football Focus grade amongst all offensive linemen. Did you realize he was having such a... I've been following it, so I know, but
yes.
People out there, if you don't realize, he is the highest graded offensive lineman in the entire NFL.
Yes.
Across 10 weeks. That's fantastic.
Right. Probably not to the casual fan. Maybe they've not realized it. But yeah, Brandon Brooks, he has performed outstandingly well on the offensive line.
Yeah. Man, he was such a lucky pickup that we had a few years ago.
Yeah,
he's been such a staple for that offensive line. He's the type of person you can build an offensive line around. And the one thing that I'm excited is most of our young offensive linemen are now locked up through the 2021 season.
Yeah.
So that's one area that we're not going to have to worry about.
You know, I think here's the thing with Howie. I know.
He knows what he's doing.
Right.
In certain regards.
He's
in the
not,
trenches, he knows exactly what
exactly,
he's doing.
Exactly, and that's where you have to start from. You have to, if you don't have the offensive and the defensive line set, the other positions aren't going to work. It all starts with the trenches. Andy Reid logic. You got to start there. And Howie, I trust. I think he's fine. I'm really surprised at the level of criticism that he's had. Sure, would we like to have seen...
Oh, no, I think he deserves some of the criticism
for it. Would we have liked to have seen a move made at the trade deadline? Of course. But you've got to... You're not seeing what he's seen. I'm sure he's had teams come up to him with trade offers, but they're all like the damn Mac trade, where it's like, I want three first-round picks BS like that.
I said early on in the season, I wanted Minkah Fitzpatrick from the Dolphins. He's got 6 picks on this season.
He's improved the Steelers.
He is balling out on the Steelers. And I said, and his asking price was a first. That's it. Was a first and change. A first and a fifth, a first and a fourth, something like that. It wasn't Jalen Ramsey 2 firsts. It wasn't anything crazy. Where was Howie in those negotiations? Where was he with the Marcus Peters negotiations? It just feels like they're missing a lot of opportunities. Is all. Where were they with Jadeveon Clowney? Like you just said, the focus on the line. And I know it's hard to anticipate all the injuries that we've had, but come on. You can't just overlook proven Pro Bowl talent time and time again this year. So I agree. He's really good at building those trenches, but the further away you get from the trenches, he gets worse and worse. Wide receiver and cornerback have been 2 areas that he has been chronically bad at, drafting and signing free agents.
He hasn't been that well with wide receivers and cornerbacks, but in terms of everything,
but that's what makes the league, it's a passing league.
It is.
So the offensive line is important, but so are the weapons.
Look, hold on. Look, no. You're thinking that there's a perfect team out there. You can't have that. There's going to be the NFL is built so that every team has at least 1 or 2 weaknesses somewhere. We have a strict salary cap. You can't come up with the perfect team.
Says a football fan in the New England Patriots era of football.
Well, look at the Patriots. They got their asses whooped by the Ravens because Tom Brady can't throw a deep ball. Starting to come out now.
Well, they're still going to win the Super Bowl.
God, don't say that.
They are. Well, that's neither here nor there. You're right. There is no perfect team, but
I'm just saying, if you had to ask me if we had to take a weakness somewhere, I think that's probably the way to go. Is I'd rather have less of those skilled position, their specific skilled position players than the offensive and the defensive line. Because if you have no offensive line, I don't care who your quarterback is. Well, he's done.
If that's the case, they need to ask some really hard questions about their coaching staff, because it's not getting done. That Mike Rowe's got to go. If you're going to be committed to saying we're only going to have average wide receivers, then you got to find a guy who can make it work with average wide receivers.
Well, we had Frank
like
Wright.
Frank Wright, exactly.
Yeah, he was plugging and playing.
And if you're going to say our corners are going to be terrible, then you need to find a defensive coordinator that can help those corners out and not leave them on an island every single play. Because when the defensive line doesn't get to the quarterback, those corners get exposed. They're so exposed, they're going to die from the elements out there. They're all right. Sitting on top of a mountain, and snow and blowing all around. All they got on is underwear. They're going to die from exposure.
All right. Mike is on the verge of panicking here. So let me get to some predictions for the future here, now that we're coming out of the bye week. Because this one is pretty startling, I think. 538 does rest of the season predictions.
Okay.
And as of right now of this recording, they have projected that the Philadelphia Eagles have a 62% chance of winning the division at 10-6. Dallas at 9-7, a 47%. Did I say that? 37%. 37. I'm like, that doesn't make 100.
There's a 120% chance that one of these teams will make the playoffs.
538, what's wrong with you? No, 37% chance that Dallas wins the division. And that's pretty much it, because
the
Vikings and the Seahawks and other teams are all a couple games ahead of the second place team, whoever ends up being in our division. So it looks like in order to make the playoffs this year, you have to win the division.
Yeah, well, we knew that going into it.
So does this ease your concerns at all? 538 has Philadelphia projected to win the division?
I mean, what are my concerns to be eased? Is my concern that they wouldn't make the playoffs, or is my concern that this is a terrible team and we're going to have a first-round exit? Because it's 2 very different scenarios here. I think they can make the playoffs. We're tied with Dallas, and the winning percentage of Dallas's remaining opponents is above 500, and the winning percentage of our remaining opponents is almost, you know, 400. And we have four of the final seven at home. So, yeah, there's a great possibility we can come out on top of this division. Now, can we go toe-to-toe with the Vikings? Can we go toe-to-toe with the Packers? Can we go toe-to-toe with the Seahawks or the Niners or the Saints? No. And that's a hard no. So, yeah, we'll make the playoffs.
You think it's a hard no?
It's a hard no.
Huh. Wow, you really are down.
Do you think that we can go toe-to-toe with any of those teams?
Well, I'll tell you what, after...
I know we beat the Packers, but do you think we could do it again?
I'll tell you what, after watching the Saints, I lost all respect for them. They came out flat against the Falcons. I know they're a division opponent, but wow,
I'm going to stop betting on football games.
Yeah, actually, this is what it is. Whenever Mike bets on a football game, whenever he does sports book, whatever team he bets on, it goes the other way.
I'm done with this football season.
So here's what you have to do.
I can't call a single thing. I can't get a single bet right. I don't know what's happening.
Here we go. Mike, when Philadelphia gets their first match in the playoffs,
I'm going to bet against them.
Bet against them. There you go. Man. And then Philadelphia is going to win the Super Bowl.
You know what? I changed my mind. We're running the Super Bowl this year.
There we go.
Let's do it, people.
With our patented...
Let's band together.
With our patented lose money strategy.
It's never failed so far in 10 weeks of football.
There you go. But if you want to check it out, go to 538.com/2019 NFL predictions, and you should be able to find it. They have all the teams listed. Take a guess at what do you think is the worst team?
The worst team to what, make the playoffs?
Yeah.
I mean, probably the Jets.
No.
You mean worst overall?
Yeah.
The Jets or the Redskins?
It's the Bengals.
Oh, I forgot about the Bengals.
They have them.
They're winless.
And they have them projected only going 1-15.
Wow.
That's the projection.
You know they're bad when I completely forgot they were a team.
Yeah. So.
I was trying to think, what's the worst team? And I went to Jets and Redskins. I completely forgot about. That's crazy because just a few years ago, they were always competitive.
Yeah. But they would always get knocked out in the first round. So good luck, Cincinnati. Have some fun with that.
Yeah. I feel bad for Ohio, but not by much.
No. Speaking of projections, let's get to the segment where we go over four games and we give you our predictions on them in our Fantastic Four picks. Let's get the thinking music up.
Yeah, and speaking of bad teams, this is a new thing we're going to try because Rich was so excited about it last time. We're going to do a weekly tank game. We talked about this. And so for this week, with a combined 3-15 record, the New York Jets are traveling to Washington to face off against the Redskins Sunday at 1 p.m. Rich, flip a coin. Who's going to win?
Oh, no, I won't have to flip a coin.
Oh,
because
really?
Because even though the Jets somehow won against the Giants last week, all of my previous argument, I think, still stands. The Jets are still dysfunctional from top to bottom. Again, like I said last week, the owner is an ambassador to the UK. Adam Gase has moments where he looks like he doesn't know what's happening. Somehow they lucked into a win last week against the Giants because the Giants are trying to teach Daniel Jones, you know, how... You know, what it's like to be an NFL quarterback. So, you know what? Don't elevate the Jets. Uh-uh. They're still the same crappy team, you know. They still have Le'Veon Bell, who hasn't done anything.
Yeah.
No, don't worry about the Jets. They're still as bad as you thought they were. On the other hand, the Redskins have this game. They're at home. They're coming off a bye week. And what's key is they're getting Darius Goose back. Running back. I don't know why I kept saying I want to say wide receiver. you know why? It's because if they get behind, they're using him as a wide receiver,
right?
But I think he's going to be a welcome addition to come back to that team. Bill Callahan's going to know how to use him. It's going to be Redskins. Don't worry.
I'm going to go with the Jets. I don't know why.
Okay.
I'm looking at it, and I just feel like maybe they're going to be riding high off of that win. Maybe they're going to use that as motivation to actually try against the Redskins. You say the Jets are dysfunctional, but the Redskins are just as dysfunctional. They are just terrible. Even worse than the Jets. Even the Jets eked out a win against the Cowboys and the Giants. The Redskins only have the one win on the season. The Jets have a surprisingly average defense as well. 15th in the league. I don't know what that's worth for them, but they play in a division against the Patriots. So, you know, it's got to be worth at least a little bit of something. And maybe Le'Veon Bell will finally get one good game in.
There you go, against this one.
Against this one. Why not? I'm going to go with the Jets. I'm going to flip the coin, see what happens. Next up, we have an AFC South fight for survival. The entire AFC South division is only separated by two games, and that's important here with this matchup as the Jacksonville Jaguars travel to Indianapolis to face off against the Colts. Rich, who do you got in this one?
This one is worrisome because the Colts still aren't sure about Jacoby Brissett. If he's not playing in this one, this is all Jaguars. All right, Jaguars are going to have Nick Foles back. BD Nick. But what's more important is that their wide receiver core has really started to take off between DJ Chark and DD Westbrook's going to be coming back in this one. I think this is all Jaguars.
Yeah.
Unless Jacoby Brissett comes back.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of this is hinging on different players on different teams coming back. But I kind of like the Jags in this one. They've sort of been, you know, just hanging in there. But they have a really good running game. It's top 10 in the league. Their offense is actually close to being a top 10 offense. So they're able to move the ball. And like you said, if Jacoby Brissett's not back, this is going to be really tough for the Colts to pull off. Meanwhile, Nick Foles, that could be a big thing for the Jags. Or maybe he's a little rusty. It's so hard to know in this game. But I like Nick Foles. I'm gonna go with the Jaguars.
Yeah, and you know he's gonna have to try and air it out with Chark. He wants to definitely have a bomb like he had with the Eagles. You know,
yeah,
some sort of deep ball with him.
Absolutely, yeah. So I'm going with the Jaguars. I'm cautiously optimistic for them. Next up, we have an AFC playoff preview. The Houston Texans are traveling to Baltimore to face off against the Ravens. These are definitely going to be two big playoff teams. Rich, who do you got in this one? Very high-octane offenses.
It is, and both of these quarterbacks are very mobile. But, wow, I got to say, I watched a little bit of the Ravens last week, and I know it was against the Bengals, but Lamar Jackson is just a freak of nature. I mean, he is the perfect, well-balanced, mobile quarterback
I think
that this league has been wanting to see since Michael Vick.
I think the stat got thrown around that he's only the second quarterback to ever have multiple perfect passer ratings in one season.
Yeah.
Like you said, I know it was against the Bengals, but that offense is something else.
Yeah.
So I guess you're going with Ravens.
I'm going with Ravens, yeah. And, I mean, it's just Lamar Jackson, he has this ability to make everybody in the defense do that jump.
Yeah.
You know? Because he's so good at running the ball when he scrambles out of the pocket that if he sees that the linebackers or the linemen make that commitment to go after him, he also has the arm strength to back up and just bam, just throw it to somebody open. And yeah. he's got this season he's really hit that he can throw. That was the problem last season. When they got knocked out of the playoffs last season, the Chargers put like eight people in quarterback zone spy coverage, and they said, "Hey, beat us with your arm," and he couldn't do it. And that's what held him from greatness last year. Now he's got the throwing mechanism down to a science right now. He's like a cheat code. He really is.
He is. And to back up your point about the passing, I mean, 66% completions. Over 2,000 yards, 15 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. He's got a quarterback rating of 101.
Yeah.
But more importantly is that ground attack. When a team has a running attack like the Ravens do, they can just control the clock and control the flow of the game. They have the top-ranked rushing attack in the league. I like the Ravens in this one.
Yep.
Finally, we have our very own hometown team. We're hosting the New England Patriots here in Philadelphia. I think this is the first regular season matchup rematch after the Super Bowl in 2017. It's a 4-25 game. Rich, why are the Eagles going to lose?
You know why they're going to lose?
Why?
The Patriots defense.
Yeah.
That Patriots defense.
Still tops in the league.
Other than the Ravens game, they have played actually perfectly.
Yeah,
they they are just getting pressure on the quarterback. They stop the run. Their corners are stopping the pass. It's just everything you want to see out of a defense. If you have the New England Patriots defense on your fantasy team, that might as well have been like your star quarterback, because they are producing as many fantasy points, actually more fantasy points than some quarterbacks are, which is beyond insane. The New England Patriots defense is so good, it's breaking fantasy football. So, I mean, until that stops, and I don't know, until we see Tom Brady, you know, frustrated on the sidelines, I you got to go with the Patriots. It's a shame, because, of course, it would be nice to see the Eagles pull another win against New England, but I don't think it's in the cards in this one.
It's really ridiculous how good the Patriots are. I'll say this. They've had a decently easy schedule, but they're still the Patriots. And
the only thing,
easy schedule or not, they're doing to bad teams what good teams should do to them.
Right. Beat them mercilessly.
Right. You know, when you see scores like 35-0 against the Jets, stuff like that, you know, that's how you beat teams. That's how good teams beat up on bad teams. And I don't know if it's going to be that bad with the Eagles, but God, it makes me worried. They have Mohamed Sanu now, and that defense is still amazing. It's not really much of a conversation. I think the Patriots are going to win and win easily.
The only caveat is maybe the Eagles' defense stops the Patriots' run and force Brady to try and throw deep, because that's where Brady is getting weaker at. He can't throw deep balls anymore.
Yeah.
So maybe they pull off some sort of game plan where they force Brady to chuck it deep.
I think the key to beating the Patriots is to keep Tom Brady off the field. That means staying committed to the ground game and controlling things, which, knowing the Eagles, they probably won't do, because they always do the exact opposite of what they should. But just another reason why I think the Patriots are going to win.
All right, there you go. That is our fantastic four picks for week number 11 of the NFL season. All right, there you go. That will wrap it up for the sports sampler for this week's episode. But don't go anywhere. We still have plenty more shows still to come. We got the entertainment entree and the non-fortune cookie odd news coming your way after the break. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Don't be a big stupid jellyfish. Keep on listening to the Crispy Noodle. I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite podcast on the Citadel. What? Reapers are back. I should go.
I'm Nikolai Volkov. I want you to keep listening to Crispy Noodle. That is order.
Hey, this is Tony Gaga. You got a podcast? You gotta go to the podcast I go to. I'll get you this podcast for $2. That's the Crispy Noodle Podcast for $2.
Yeah, we're back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Mike with the DJ choice on this intro music.
I've been obsessed with the Hamilton musical, but only the first like 5 or 6 songs I've been able to get through, because it's like a 2.5-hour album.
Well, you know? I mean, that's what you get for a musical.
Yeah,
so.
But this is My Shot from Hamilton, and
there
it's fantastic.
Big fan of My Shot. So there you go. Mike got the treat to choose the song to come back.
I think it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I like it.
Yeah.
Talking musicals and show tunes, celebrity stuff like that, I think that's a good way to transition into the second part of our show, the entertainment entree.
And now, the latest in movies.
The Simpson guy writes to movies. Dear Die Hard, you rock, especially when that guy was on the roof.
Music.
I know what that is. That's music.
Video games.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite store on the Citadel.
Celebrities.
You really know Warren Beatty?
Yes, I do. I took a leak next to him once at the Golden Globes.
And more.
You were the all-singing, all-dancing crap of the world.
This is the Entertainment Entree.
We go back to Yavin 4. Remember the rebel base?
I clapped when I saw it.
I clapped when I saw Darth Vader.
ATSTs.
Lucasfilm logo. A long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, but no title crawl. Oh, well.
I applauded it for being different.
It broke new ground.
I love that.
It broke new ground.
There you go. That's one of our favorite sound clips from Red Letter Media, and that was their takedown of Rogue One. Anybody that thought Rogue One was the best Disney Star Wars movie,
yeah,
you may have liked it just because it was way overly familiar.
It broke new ground.
So there you go. So the reason why I play this,
take the floor, Rich.
Oh my gosh. I can't believe I have to explain myself, recording the podcast a little bit later than, we would usually like to here, because, you know, my family, you know, we're really big into Star Wars.
Nerds. No, that's cool.
Yeah. It was definitely something you had to at least know the universe about.
Right.
And, so we were in this big, massive group text because we all checked out The Mandalorian, which debuted on Disney Plus this week, and we're going to get to that in just a little bit. Hold off on The Mandalorian for a bit. But in the middle of it, it kind of devolved into a debate about The Last Jedi. And I want to get this just off my chest. I find it interesting that it kind of seems that I don't know. That sound like I'm ageist here. So I'm the youngest out of all of my cousins.
Okay.
And we were all on this group chat, and the older cousins that they were the ones that actually grew up on Star Wars when it came out in the movie theater. They were the OGs, everything like that. They came out and they completely just crapped all over The Last Jedi in this massive group text that we were all on. And it was just something that I was like, that's funny. I really like The Last Jedi. And I kind of gave my counterpoints to it, you know, and I got like, oh my gosh, you would have thought I had defiled the Star Wars code of conduct or something. It was like a mini civil war on the text message stream. And it ended abruptly when one of them said, you know, I fell asleep during the first time I watched The Last Jedi, and I texted back, you know, I fell asleep during the first time I saw The Lord of the Rings, and he's a huge Lord of the Rings fan. Oh my God.
I take offense to that too, but I understand your point.
I wanted to throw a dig in there. So it really surprised me. And their most common complaint seemed to be that they didn't enjoy, they thought Luke's, obviously, we're in spoiler territory, by the way.
Right.
I mean, obviously, I hope you've seen all the Star Wars movies by now. The main complaint was Luke wasn't... They didn't like how Luke the character was treated in Episode 8, The Last Jedi. And I'm just really surprised that this was coming from the older wing of my cousins.
Right.
Because I think they would be the ones to know that a significant amount of time passed between Return of the Jedi and when we see Luke in The Last Jedi, and he's been through losing his own nephew to the dark side.
Right.
You think that plus 25, 30 years of time passing, like, I'm really surprised that's a common criticism still of this movie.
Yeah.
And it isn't just my cousins. I've heard this constantly, that people did not like the portrayal of Luke. I'm really baffled by it. I'm really surprised people aren't more receptive of a slightly more complex character, a more complicated character arc behind Luke, and they didn't appreciate it. And I'm just blown away by it. That's really one of my main sticking points for loving The Last Jedi. I kind of liked that Luke kind of grew into the cynical old man. It kind of shows you the development of how bad things have gotten in the sequel trilogy.
Yeah. And I think complex is the perfect way to frame it. I want to ask you a question because you're the resident Star Wars expert. About roughly how old is Luke at the end of Return of the Jedi? He's a teen.
Well, he's a teenager in A New Hope.
But I don't think much time passes between the three movies.
3 years pass by. Usually the give or take from A New Hope to Empire Strikes Back, usually three years. And then Empire Strikes Back is only like a year from Return of the Jedi because they have to go and get Han
right
away. So maybe
it's early 20s, roughly.
Yeah. Okay. For the sake of argument, let me do mid-20s. Just to be on the safe side, okay. Just in case there's more time that I'm forgetting about.
Well, here's my point that I'm getting to, is that you think back, it's a 30-year gap. Think back to when you were one, Rich.
No,
that's a bad example.
That doesn't work.
But what I'm saying, though, was a joke. What I'm saying, though, is that a lot changes in a person over the course of 30 years. Think about how much we've changed even from high school.
Yeah.
Right? Like 15 years ago. Okay? So imagine now, you have to keep in mind that these characters, while fictional, are still in their universe real people, right? Real people going through real issues, growing, learning, changing as individuals. If you want them to be fully fleshed out characters, that's how you have to look at them, as people, first and foremost. So to think that Luke is going to stay the same idealistic 23-year-old for 30 years.
Yeah.
Through all that he's been through, is not only naive, but it is short-sighted. Because you're limiting the potential for, as you said, to make him complex, to add a different dimension, to add a different perspective. And I think that older Luke was really refreshing because we hadn't seen a Jedi like that yet, right? Somebody who had rejected the Jedi ways to such an extreme. And it also helped show us, to deepen the lore in the world, that there was still so much more to learn about the Force and the ways of the Jedi, because he's still being schooled in that movie.
Oh, yeah, because Yoda shows up.
By
yeah.
former masters. And that, to me, was the most powerful moment, when you're sitting there in the theater and you go, wow, the depths of the Force and the school of the Jedi is still so mysterious and still so open to interpretation. It in my mind, tapped into the primal essence of what Star Wars is, and that is the exploration of the unknown and discovery. And so to just write it off, I think, is foolish.
Yeah. So I'm glad you agree with me on this. You're my corner.
You know that I am all for the sequel trilogy, and I take issue with a lot of people that take issue with the sequel trilogy, because it seems to me, and I can't work this logic in my mind because there's some serious cognitive dissonance going on here, that A Force Awakens was too similar and The Last Jedi was too different. So
yeah.
so which is it? This is the argument that I always posit to people, is which is it?
At least I'm on the side of I'd rather go different. I'd rather watch The Last Jedi over The Force Awakens.
Before the show, I gave the example of the Beatles. It's like being a fan of the Twist and Shout Beatles and then saying, yeah, I'm not going to listen to the White Album or Abbey Road.
Yeah, because that was too different.
Yeah, so you have to grow, you have to learn, you have to change. That's what Luke did. That's what we have to do as fans as well. You can have criticisms of it. Absolutely.
Yeah, of course. The Last Jedi has some moments where, I would also agree that they're valid criticism.
The whole Jesus Christ Superstar Mary Poppins flying through space scene was weird.
Yeah.
The whole B plot with the casino was, if it had actual stakes and consequences, would have been nice, but it ended up being a big shrug. So, objectively, there were things that were weak about it, just like objectively, there are things that are weak about every movie other than The Godfather. But let's focus on objective things and not so much the wanting it to be your Star Wars of years past.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
Is
yeah,
it still raging over there?
That's what I just want to hint at it. I don't want to go into specifics, but that issue did come up in the group's conversation.
Rich is downplaying it because Rich, here's the thing. I know longer and older Star Wars fans, but I don't know a more hardcore Star Wars fan than Rich. I mean, he's rocking a Star Wars t-shirt almost every week that he comes over here, as he is right now.
Yes, I am. I didn't even realize that. Yeah, I got my
Parsec shirt. He literally wrote like his 95 theses and hammered it to the group message that he's a part of. Like, and you know, I was more than happy to give him the space to do that because I know how near and dear the franchise is to him. But yeah, man, I mean, this is your franchise, your fight. So if there's ever an opinion, no, seriously, if there's ever an opinion about Star Wars that I want to get, I go, Rich, what do you think about A, B, and C? Mm. You know.
Well, I appreciate you viewing me as the Jedi Master on the subject.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, there is. I'm trying to avoid specifics, but yeah, there is a weird segment of the Star Wars fandom. I guess you would call them the purists or the Star Wars OGs, the people that actually grew up on Star Wars. I just don't know why they're I hate to say personal because that makes it sound obviously very personal, right. But they're just cut off
right.
from the sequel trilogy. There's like, it's not my Star Wars, and it's like,
right.
who made it your Star Wars? Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know.
I get what you're saying. I take issue with it too, but everybody's entitled to their
right.
opinion.
Everybody, yeah, right. This is America. You get your own opinion. But if you ask me, I think The Last Jedi was a fun Star Wars movie. I enjoyed it. I loved, why does this keep getting forgotten? I loved the whole dynamic between Rey and Kylo.
Yeah.
That was a great weaving in and out between like the Force Skype conversations they had and then them deciding, are we going to work together or not? That was the first time you even ever, that's never happened in a Star Wars movie
right.
where Jedi and Sith could possibly work together. What?
Right. And that's the thing. Like, these new movies are doing so many great things. And now you're going to jump on me for this. The original Star Wars trilogy worked so well because it followed a very archetypal structure. It was the hero's journey through and through.
Not anything bad.
No, it's not anything bad, but some people might say it's very routine. These sequels have been anything but. They're adding a lot, I think, a lot of depth and layers to these characters where Rey is a non-traditional Jedi. You know, Luke was all about it. Like, I want to learn the Force. Rey's like, this is weird. You know, that was her first reaction. So the characters are complex. They're interesting. Like you said, the dynamics are something we haven't seen before. There's a lot of great stuff to take away from there. You know what I mean?
Yep.
You just have to look at it with a little bit wider eyes, you know, and not look at it through specifically the lens of the original, because you're going to have a bad time.
You're going to have a bad time.
You are. It always happens when you say, with any medium, I'm going to play this video game, listen to this album, read this book through the lens of the original, you're going to have a bad time.
Yeah.
You are.
And it's funny, you also mentioned this. Apparently I said this a while ago, but I also kind of had the same argument with Ghost.
Yeah.
My favorite band, Ghost, because apparently a lot of people were, a lot of the pure metal heads.
It happens every artistic medium. Whenever there's change, people say, nope.
Right.
That's not my band, movie, TV show, video game, whatever.
Right. When Ghost came out with Prequel last year, a lot of the fans of the first album that were more metalheads rejected it. They were complaining that it was too poppy or too hair metal-y, like too 80s
like
sounding.
Like I said.
But I enjoyed Prequel.
I want to talk to the Beatles fans that stopped listening to them. When they started getting experimental.
Uh-huh.
No, yeah. Really, like that.
Well, obviously one of them's Pope Benedict, because
yeah, you brought
that up. They showed that in the trailer for The Two Popes, which I'm oddly excited to watch.
You love popes.
It is a fascinating.
Anything with a pope, Rich is like, oh man, I gotta watch this. The young pope, the two popes, Papa from Ghost.
Yeah.
You should go to the Vatican, Rich. You'd have a ball.
It is a fascinating thing to observe that, you know, when you're...
It's the world leader that doesn't rule any country.
Right, but you're also viewed as infallible.
Yeah.
Like, you're telling me even as a human you don't make mistakes? Like, yeah. Like that's just a weird dynamic to me.
Yeah.
And I'm fascinated by it.
It is very cool.
Yeah. Anyway.
This has been a fascinating and sprawling conversation.
Yes. So, yeah, you're right, Mike. We need to rein this back in. My final point, I like The Last Jedi. So there you go.
There you go.
Now let's get to the portion of the show where Mike lets you know what's coming up in the future. We were talking about past stuff. Here's stuff in the future that you need to keep an eye on this weekend with movies, TV, and video games in Mike's This Week in Entertainment.
It broke new ground!
There you go. Mike, are you breaking new ground over there?
Well, maybe. We'll see. This isn't very... I'm already starting off with a flub. I'm going to try and keep this brief. Ford versus Ferrari is a new sports drama biopic about the real-life feud between the two car manufacturers, Ford and Ferrari, as automotive designer Carroll Shelby and race car driver Ken Miles lead a team of engineers and designers to build a race car that could beat the Ferrari in the legendary 24 Hours of Le Mans race. It's not breaking new ground per se, but the critics are really liking it. It has a 76 on Metacritic. So if you're looking for an abnormally long sports drama, it's 2.5 hours I'm noticing right now on IMDb. Go check it out. That's Ford versus Ferrari in theaters this week.
I'm going to make just a quick addendum to that.
Sure.
Part of the problem is I think both of us, even though I work for car dealerships, I don't think we're true motorheads.
No.
You know?
No.
Like, I think we look at a car, we're like, oh, it's nice, you know, but like we're not into like the nuts and bolts and getting underneath the hood and stuff. To people that are, they're going to love this movie.
They're going to love this movie, especially, you know, great cast, Christian Bale, Matt Damon. Yeah, definitely go see this. If you're into cars or racing or any of the people that are starring in it, definitely go see Ford versus Ferrari in theaters this week. Next up in TV, I know Disney Plus just came out. We're going to get to that. But historical drama fans will probably be tuning back into Netflix for the third season premiere of perennial award nominee and winner The Crown. The Crown follows Queen Elizabeth II from her wedding in the mid-40s through to the present day. Season 3 specifically focuses on the late 60s and features some landmark moments such as the Apollo 11 moon landings and the death and funeral of Winston Churchill. History and drama fans will definitely want to see this as the series consistently scores highly with critics. Go check it out. That's The Crown on Netflix this Friday. And finally, in the world of video games, it's a big, big week in video games. Pokemon Sword and Shield comes to the Nintendo Switch this Friday, making them Nintendo's first Pokemon games developed specifically for home consoles. That's not mobile handheld games, but an actual physical console. Players can expect lots of little pocket monsters to catch, 1-4-player co-op multiplayer, and open world-like areas to explore and a brand new story. It looks really cool. Go check it out if you're a Pokemon fan. That's Pokemon Sword and Shield coming to the Nintendo Switch this Friday. But it gets even better, Rich, to go back to Star Wars. Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order releases on PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and PC this Friday. This fully single-player action-adventure Star Wars game is being heralded as very quote-unquote un-EA in its approach. It's got no microtransactions. It's got no loot boxes. It's all single-player, story-driven stuff. Previewers are really, really enjoying it. They're praising the methodical combat, the intriguing story, and the variety of gameplay ranging from exploration to puzzle-solving to platforming, and, of course, that great lightsaber combat. It all has the potential makings to be one of the best Star Wars games ever if it can just stick the landing. There's no reviews at the time of this recording, but I'm cautiously optimistic. It looks really good, everything that I've seen.
Which is good because, of course, EA seems like they had no direct involvement in it.
EA is the DC of video games.
It really is.
The more they stick their hands in something, the worse it is. The more they're like, here, just do this thing, the better it is.
Which is what this game seems to have been. So. Yeah.
So if you're a Star Wars fan or a video game fan in general, go check out Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. It could be very, very big. That's what we're looking forward to this week in entertainment.
It broke new ground!
So there you go. Breaking new ground in Mike's This Week in Entertainment.
Good Lord.
I love that quote.
This Jedi Fallen Order game could break new ground.
It could.
But you know what else is breaking new ground? Is the Disney Plus streaming service. Oh, man.
Yeah.
We got a chance, Rich. You came over early.
Yeah.
Checked out some of the exclusive new shows that they put out there. So we're going to break it all down for you guys. Disney Plus came out this week. Just starting with the service and the app itself, there was a little bit of connection trouble, of course. Everybody trying to get on and watch their shows and sign up and sign in.
I think everybody at once was using it.
Yeah, but I have to say, using it the very first day, it ironed itself out pretty quickly. Hopefully they can maintain that reliability going forward, because it's only going to get bigger and bigger. It's got a pretty slick interface. You get multiple profiles, premium features at the base cost. They already offer 4K, HDR, multiple streams at the same flat rate for everyone. You know, Netflix, you have to pay extra to get 4K. Disney Plus offers it right out of the box for the base cost of the service. So that's really cool. The homepage is great. They break it down by brands. You get Disney, Pixar, Marvel, Star Wars, and Nat Geo featured prominently right there in the front. You get, pretty basic stuff, search, watch list, everything. So it seems like Disney put a lot of care and consideration and thought into designing the service and how it works, all the different categories they have. You know, they have categories for inspired by true stories and out of the vault and, Disney channels and musicals and throwbacks. So it's really got everything there that you could possibly want organized in a way that makes sense and is easy to navigate. But, of course, the most important thing with any streaming service is the content. And we dove into the content, Rich. It's amazing. We were just reviewing some of the stuff. I mean, like I said, Disney, Pixar, Marvel, Lucasfilm, Nat Geo. But remember, Fox as well, because Disney just acquired Fox. So things like the entire 30-year run of The Simpsons is available day one.
Yeah,
and a lot of other stuff, like the X-Men animated shows, a lot of really deep cuts like Boy Meets World.
Yeah.
Like, it's not available to stream anywhere, ever.
I liked Boy Meets World. That was a fun little trip down memory lane.
Yeah, so it's really amazing the variety that they have and how much is there on day one. They also have a lot of old classics. This is the thing that blew my mind. One of the first things I did was they have this feature called Through the Years, where each brand or character or franchise has a category called, such and such through the years, like Spider-Man through the years or Mickey Mouse through the years. And one of the first things I did was I went to Disney's main section and they have Mickey Mouse through the years and they have the original Steamboat Willie cartoon released in 1928. So
almost 100 years old.
Almost 100 years old. Yeah. So I fired up Steamboat Willie. It's really, really weird by today's standards. I won't get into it. You got to watch for yourself. It's like 7 minutes. But I'm watching it. And it just hits me. 1928, and then you have something like the originals, like The Mandalorian, and recent releases like Endgame coming out in 2019. There's 91 years of content on this service.
Yeah,
like it's just kind of staggering and really impressive when you think about it. Am I like nerding out a lot over this Disney stuff? But you have to admit that's pretty intense.
Yeah, but also I would remind you, when Netflix came out, they had a section for film noir.
Okay.
So, they, you could say the same thing for Netflix. They had movies from the 40s,
Yeah, I guess. But this is one company's legacy. I guess that's why I'm so interested in it, because it's like the whole history of it laid out before you from start to now.
Okay.
But speaking of the now, let's get into the real meat of this section.
Yeah.
The originals. We watched three originals.
Yes.
And we're going to start
Which one do you want to talk
we're
first?
We're going to start with Rich's favorite. Forky asks a question.
No.
It was a 3-minute short. I want to get this out of the way first because you were not a fan.
No. Yeah, I don't understand what the hell that was. That's 3 minutes of my life I'll never get back.
It was, for kids, I guess it would be quite entertaining, but basically the first episode was Forky asks, what is money? And a Toy Story character tries to explain what money is in 2 minutes.
Yeah.
So it was...
But then Forky does this whole thing where he has like ADD and he's like, look at what I can do.
Yeah. And he like moves his googly eyes around. It was weird. Yeah. It's definitely more for kids. We'll have to see where it goes. But overall, it's not going to be one of the highlights.
No. skip that.
Yeah. A highlight that I think some people might enjoy, and I think it's safe to say that we enjoyed it, The World According to Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah. That was bizarre, but I couldn't stop watching.
Yeah. So I was going to say, you know, the whole time we're sitting there and we're just laughing, like it's an actual serious thing. The first episode, Jeff Goldblum talks about sneakers and the
right,
whole
that's the whole show
and the whole sneaker industry and you know how what it means to people and you know how
to be fair, it did teach me a lot about sneakers. I didn't know there was a sneaker convention
or that people regularly spend $34,000 collections of sneakers.
If you're a sneaker collector,
that was the craziest moment for me. We're watching. This is like the first few minutes of the episode,
and they do it in cash.
Yes.
That seems highly dangerous.
That was the weirdest thing. We're watching, and it shows this conversation between two people at SneakerCon, and he's like, all right, I'll give you $33,000 for the whole collection. He's like, cool, I prefer cash. And the guy's like, I want to do this off camera. And then Jeff Goldblum just, I don't know, riffs into the camera. He does a whole bunch of weird growling noises.
Yeah.
Because it's Jeff Goldblum. Yeah, exactly. And the next thing you know, this guy has this collection of sneakers.
Yes.
Exactly. And you know what's funny? Is that Rich is not exaggerating. He did that a couple of times throughout the episode.
Yes.
I feel like Disney was like, here's a camera crew, just say whatever you want to say.
I think they did.
I'm pretty
sure that was the pre-production meeting.
Yeah. Jeff Goldblum is like, I want to talk about sneakers.
Perfect. Here's a camera crew, go.
Here's a blank check and a camera crew, go do it.
Go for it. Have fun.
It very much has that vibe of flying by the seat of his pants, saying and doing whatever he wants to say, but it's fun and it's informative. And depending on how it goes, I know the second episode is going to be ice cream, which you know is going to be super weird.
Yeah.
Jeff Goldblum, he was growling over shoes.
Yeah.
What's he going to do with ice cream? Life finds a way.
Into sneakers.
Into sneakers. All right. Enough messing around, Rich. It's time to get to the original series that we all came here for, Star Wars Mandalorian.
Yeah, that's right. It's time to talk about the Mandalorian. I got to say, I'm really impressed with it. I was kind of on the fence about it because one of my critiques of the Solo movie was it was a fun action movie, but it didn't seem Star Wars-y to me, you know, because you didn't have lightsabers, you didn't have the Force.
You could remove the Star Wars name, and it's just a heist film.
Right. So that's what I was worried about with The Mandalorian, was if it's just bounty hunters, how's it going to be Star Wars-y, you know?
Yeah. They immediately squashed those concerns.
Yeah. There's a lot of little tidbits that are connections to the original trilogy, which I'm sure the older generation of Star Wars fans will enjoy.
So salty, Rich.
A little bit. But just also, I like the fact that they've realized that why did Boba Fett work in the original trilogy was because he has five lines in the whole trilogy.
Yeah.
That's it. You're purposely not supposed to know anything about Boba Fett. And that's what makes him more scary. You don't know like what he looks like underneath the helmet. You don't know what exactly his skills are, where exactly he's from. The Mandalorian does a great job with just like, this guy's a badass, but like he's a badass because he's trained, but there's not too much of a backstory to him.
Right.
He just goes in, he does his thing, and that's what makes bounty hunters so scary, is because they're this third party mercenary,
right,
that doesn't have emotion. They gotta do what they gotta do.
Right. There's no allegiance to them. They're doing it for money. They're like you said, do what they gotta do. And the line that sums it up for me happens very early in the episode, and this sort of sets the tone for the character and the entire episode going forward, is, you know, he gets to his target at the beginning of the show. He gets one of his targets, and he corners him in a cantina, and he puts down, like, the little holographic wanted poster, and he goes, I can bring you in warm, or I can bring you in cold. And I was like, That was his first line in the show.
Yeah, you know,
there was no like, oh, I'm looking for this guy, or there's no fluff. It was just, I can bring you in warm or I can bring you in cold.
That's it.
And he goes for his gun, you know, and it was so, like you said, badass. It was a great one-liner, and it just sets up that character perfectly. I love the Western vibe to it. It's got like
this is really more of a space Western.
It's a space Western. It's very gritty. It's very dark and slow, but in a good way, like brooding,
yeah,
or slow boiling. There were some interesting moments where they had like flashback memories to the Mandalorian's childhood. It seems like,
but they didn't go into it.
They didn't go into it. So they're really trying to develop, like, yes, the mysterious part, the brooding part is awesome, but they're also giving you these little flashes, these little glimpses, like there's actually a person inside that helmet as well. I think that could be really interesting. Without getting into too much spoilery territory, this takes place after the fall of the Empire.
Yeah.
So
this is in between.
It's in that 30-year gap.
Yeah, this is in between Return of the Jedi and The Force Awakens.
And there is what seems to be a connection there, without getting too spoilery.
Yes.
that was very vague. Look, you're just going to have to buy the service and find out for yourself.
Right, because we're not in spoiler territory.
Yeah.
And you can catch on pretty early, too. Only one episode is out, so...
Yeah. Well, and how do you feel about this? They're going the Hulu route of doing an episode a week. Or would you rather binge it all?
Personally, I guess I would rather binge it all because
Star Wars, yeah.
I would just sit in one place and just watch the entire thing. But at the same time, I do agree. I mean, this is the discussion we had with Nena.
Oh, yeah. We always come back to this discussion.
Yeah. It is sometimes overwhelming when you release a whole season and then you're not caught up on the whole season while everybody else is because they binge watch.
Right.
So, you know, there's pros and cons.
I also think that it will help Disney in these early months of the service to do it weekly so that you build an audience and you build these communities where, you know, you'll probably go on Reddit and go on Twitter and you'll see discussion about the episode. You know what I mean? You will see discussions about it online, what people are thinking, theorizing. They're going to make fan art. They're going to write letters, all that good stuff. So you can get yourself fully invested in the community. Whereas I never felt that with Netflix shows. Netflix shows, it's like you watch it and like Stranger Things, like there's no community. You know, I never really felt like there was much discussion. It just happened and it was done and I love it and it was great.
Yeah.
But
you had to find somebody else who binge watched the entire season.
Right. And you can't talk with anybody until you've watched it and they've watched it. But this slow trickle, it allows for discussions to develop around it. And so I think that's really important in this fledgling streaming service because it will make people more attached to the content instead of just binging it and forgetting about it for 12 months until the next season comes out.
Yeah.
Overall, I'm super impressed with the service. I'm super impressed with the slickness of it, with the content offerings. I watched a few on my own. Disney Pixar has a whole bunch of shorts created just for the service. So they're really tapping into their different brands to bring unique stuff to the service. It's just really, really impressive, everything that they've put together so quickly. There are some lingering questions, though. Will Disney be able to get that stability and usability under control? I want to see if they're going to do any sort of like recommendations, like how they're going to handle that. I noticed when I was watching earlier, they automatically start playing the next episode, just like every other streaming service does. But are they going to do anything where it's like, you know, recommended for you or based on your viewing trends, or are they going to personalize it in any sort of way? But the biggest question I have is, how quickly can Disney add recently released content and original content? Because we just talked about The Last Jedi. It's not up there yet. But it's been out of theaters for almost 2 years
at this point. Solo's not up there.
And Solo's not up there. So it's like, okay, it's like 90% of the way there with the Star Wars collection. But it's like, how quickly can they get out of these licenses to get everything there? And how quickly are we going to have to wait after theatrical releases to get the movies up there? Obviously, it has to, you know, stay in theaters and then do, you know, a movie, a home retail release. But like, how quickly are they going to put it up there so people can stay invested and interested in it?
Yeah, we'll have to find out as Disney Plus progresses as a competitor to Netflix, Hulu, Amazon Prime and any other streaming service.
I think you know what? For my money, like, I'm already pre-subscribed for 3 years, so I might be a little biased, but for my money, it's highly competitive and it's I think very compelling. And I can't wait to dive into it.
All right, there you go. That's Mike's review of Disney Plus. And while I'm the Star Wars expert, I'm going to just say he's the Disney expert. So there we go.
Hey, Star Wars is part of Disney now, Rich.
Don't
come
remind
to
me.
The dark side.
Don't remind me. to end this entertainment entree on a fun note, here you go. This is the laugh we were talking about with Jeff Goldblum. There's like a growl in it. I love that.
That's from Jurassic Park, one of the best movies ever made.
Yep, there you go. I know Mike would like that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there you go. That's what we have for you this week in the entertainment entree. But that's not the end of the show. Not by a long shot. We still have the non-fortune cookie odd news coming up, and I've got some weird stories, including a breaking news story that I need to research, so don't go anywhere. Yeah, something just broke that I have to that I have to talk about. We'll cover it on the way back after the break. Don't go anywhere.
The Crispy Noodle, always crunchy.
This is Guardian Shield, and you are listening to the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Yeah, we're back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We're done the sports sampler and the entertainment entree, and we're moving right along into the third and final portion of the show. Mike, we need to jump into it. What's it time for?
It's time for the wacky, the wild, the always entertaining non-fortune cookie odd news.
We've been talking about cool and its ramifications and how it applies to the hip scene. But maybe you could give us some examples now of the opposite of cool, uncool. Just exactly what is uncool?
My nipples look like milk duds.
Holy shnikes.
It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
It's not of this world. I don't know exactly what it is or what it's doing, but this is not human intelligence, okay? It's not human intelligence we're facing!
How you doing? Me? I'm doing great.
Mandada bastata. I don't make this stuff up.
I'll take a pound of nuts.
That's a lot of nuts! That'll be $4, baby! You want fries with that?
I seen the celery dance across the baseball fields.
You had me at meat tornado.
No, go past this. Pass this part. In fact, never play this again.
Okay. What does that mean?
And now it's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news.
So sit back, get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders. Go to the bathroom because you're in for hell of a ride.
Woo! Odd news.
That's right, everybody. It's time for the non-fortune cookie odd news here in this segment. Rich researches the news, he reads the news, and I react to the news. He finds all these weird and wacky stories and keeps them hidden from me, which ensures that all my reactions are my genuine gut reactions to hearing these stories for the very first time. I don't know what's about to happen, you guys don't know what's about to happen, and even Rich doesn't know what's about to happen, because these stories always take us down wacky and wild paths, and they literally break as we're recording the show.
Literally, even when I have my planned stories out, sometimes something comes along like this and deserves breaking news coverage. Yes, breaking news here at the Odd News Desk.
We interrupt your regularly scheduled podcasting news to bring you this breaking news story. We go over to Rich Liebig at the Odd News Desk. Rich, tell us what's happening there on the scene.
All right, so this is reported on by NBC.
Oh, this is like the most reputable source we've ever had in the Odd News.
This actually happens.
I'm legit scared right now.
Yes, you should be.
What did the Jets owner do in the UK?
No, it's not the Jets owner. No, this happened in Hollywood.
Uh-oh.
A night near the Hollywood Walk of Fame would end up changing this woman's life. Heidi Van Tessel was having a pleasant evening out with friends at an authentic Thai restaurant when suddenly a man randomly pulled her out of the car, dragged her into the middle of the street, and somehow dumped a bucket of feces on her head in public. Yes. This is exactly what you're imagining. This is why it warranted breaking news coverage.
Okay, hold on. So this man was walking through downtown LA with a bucket of feces.
Yes, this is the things you have to think of. He's carrying this bucket with him.
I don't even know where to begin. Did he target this woman, or was he just like, that's the one? He just picked her randomly. Like, because if you're bringing a bucket of poop with you, there's a goal in mind. You don't just leave the house with your bucket of poop just in case.
Yeah.
Right? So he has a goal in mind, and his goal obviously is to dump it on someone. So I want to know, is this person someone who he's targeting, or is it just the poor random bystander he selected that evening?
I think this is a poor, just
Did
random.
This just happen at the time of recording?
Right, this literally just happened.
This woman is covered in poop right now.
I hope she's cleaned by now.
I hope so too.
The man who attacked her, who is identified as Jeer Blessings? J-E-R-E? What kind of name is that?
J-E-R-E?
Jer?
Jerry?
No, it's not Jer. It's J-E-R-E.
J-E-R-E.
Yeah.
Jerry. Jerry.
No. That is the most stupidest way to...
Jerry Blessing.
Get the hell out of here. That is the dumbest way I've ever seen to spell Jerry. Just spell Jerry like normal people do. Oh, my God.
Wow, I touched a nerve there.
J-E-R-E. That looks like Jeer.
Well, Jeer would be two E's.
No. You look like Jeer.
It's Jerry.
No, I refuse to believe...
Jerry Blessings.
I refuse to believe this is Jerry. Get the hell out of here.
It's Jerry. It's definitely Jerry.
That's atrocious.
Maybe it is Jeer.
I'm going with Jeer. I'd rather...
I mean, both are weird and wrong.
Yeah.
In their own rights.
He's been charged with battery. Blessings was described as a transient with schizophrenia and psychotic disorders.
Oh, now I feel bad. But... not really. Because he also dumped poop on someone.
Yeah. Like, you have to think of the logistics of this.
Why? Just.
Yeah.
Is this something that he does? Like, does he just. And did nobody, like, why do you have a bucket of poop, sir?
Carrying with you everywhere you go?
Like, because LA is a very, very crowded city. So he's just walking down the street with a bucket of poop, and he was able to, the car was stopped somewhere, and he dragged this woman out of the car.
Yeah.
Yo, lock your doors.
Well, Van Tessel also has a statement to the cops. She noted that specifically, it definitely was diarrhea.
Oh.
It was...
Thank you for specifying.
It was hot.
Oh, no, come on. No. That is a detail I did not need. You know what that means.
Yeah.
That means that S is fresh.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Rich, no. Why? God, please.
Should I go more into it?
Yeah. How chunky was it?
She says, I was soaked everywhere.
Oh, my God.
Some of it got into my eyes.
Oh.
Mike actually physically convulsed away from the sound mixer.
Oh, you got to take the eyes out.
That's it.
You're done. You're blind. You're blind now.
Oedipus. That's it.
Yeah, the eyes, they're gone. No. Oh no. I would be. I can't even begin to describe to you how upset I would be if I got poop in my eyes, Rich.
Yeah. This lady did.
The amount of tears I would shed would still not be enough to clean those eyes.
No, absolutely never.
Oh, no. Okay. Warm diarrhea in the eyes.
Yeah.
What else?
Security footage also has captured it to help the cops, to help the cops frame. To help
they
the cops,
have the DNA evidence.
Yeah, put it all together. I'm sorry. I'm also reading this as...
Yeah,
like,
I know. You're literally reading
I'm
it.
I'm literally reading it from my cell phone.
If I can paint...
Because it literally just happened.
Yeah.
Or at least the story broke, like, just now.
Rich is furiously scrolling on his phone, trying to read it.
Right. It's usually not the way I prepare the odd news. Also, apparently, according to one of the cops, they believe that the amount of poop was about 1 month's worth.
Oh, my God!
Which,
how do you measure that?
Yeah, how do you right. How does that get measured?
What is your baseline? They get in the office like, all right, everybody, take a dump in this bucket. We got to see what a month's worth of poop is like. What is your baseline?
Yeah.
How many poop bucket people do you have?
How do you specifically know what a month of
you
poop
see that one
like?
There? That's a 1 weeker. But this one here, this is definitely a monther.
Are there a lot of people pooping in buckets in
what
LA?
Is a month of poop?
I guess enough in a bucket. I don't know.
I feel like... This is going to sound gross. I don't know. Would a month of poop fit in a bucket?
It depends.
Was it all diarrhea? Like the whole month?
It depends.
Was diarrhea?
Yeah.
I'm so...
It depends on how often you go.
My bunghole, it goes... And then sometimes my bunghole goes...
A month seems like a long time to save poop.
Yeah.
And was it diarrhea the whole month? Or was it just the freshest layer? Was it?
I don't even want to think about that.
How do you... oh, no.
Van Tassel was rushed to the Hollywood Presbyterian Hospital. She will have to be tested for infectious diseases.
Yeah.
Next month, and then every 3 months afterwards.
Oh, man. I feel really bad for this woman. Like,
yeah.
This could potentially be a life-altering issue.
Right.
Poop in the eye. You think, you know, this is like the worst case of pink eye ever.
Oh, no, this is far worse than pink eye.
This is like magenta eye.
No, this is gouge out your eyes.
Gouge out your eyes.
Call it quits.
I honestly, this reminds me of the story where the poop went into the car.
Yeah, right.
And poop got everywhere.
Right.
You have to burn the car. Poop went into your eyes.
You have to burn yourself.
You're done.
You have to immolate
the eyes
yourself.
Have to. If I went to the hospital, I'd be like, Doc, just take him out.
Yeah, this is it.
Just get your melon baller and scoop these mofos out because I'm done with these.
Yeah, this is ball game. This is it. We're done.
This is ball game.
Yeah,
that's it. That's a wrap. I'm done here. I'm blind now.
Yep.
No, I feel really bad for her. And
she is the most unluckiest person I've ever heard about. Because apparently this was just a random, like,
oh man,
he just went crazy.
That is one feature I love about new cars. Well, at least my car. I don't know about all cars, but my car, when you put that sucker in the drive, those doors lock automatically.
Yeah.
You know? So, like, you're not going to be able to drag me out of my car and pour poop in my eyes.
Nope.
No, sir. Uh-uh.
And that's really what you're worried about when you buy a new car.
Look, when I go, my lease is almost up, I'm going to go, I'm like, does this have any anti-poop bucket features?
Right.
And I'm like, it has lane change warnings.
That's all it has.
Oh, man. That was a highly disturbing, very fun story.
Literally, I caught that breaking on my news feed during the break between sports and entertainment. And I'm like, oh, my God, I have to find that.
What
find
sources
this out.
Are you subscribed to that poop stories break on your phone?
It was on NBC.
Oh, that's true.
It
yeah.
was NBC.
This isn't even one of your weird odd news sources.
Right.
This is just NBC.
Right. This is NBC.
God bless NBC.
There you go.
They're doing the Lord's work there.
Better watch out. NBC's cutting into the odd news reporting business.
I know, right? Man.
Yeah. So there you go. True story. Literally happening as we're recording the podcast.
Wow.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Even when I have things planned, it doesn't go the way I think
plans,
it is.
Best laid plans, man. That's like the motto of this show right here.
Yeah. All right, so how about we get to stories that I did have planned before NBC.
I don't know how they're going to compare against the random poop bucketer.
Yeah, but wow, that was definitely
crazy.
That
was something. All right, now back to your regularly scheduled programming.
Yeah, regularly scheduled odd news here. So here's a story I wanted to get to because this went viral and a couple people tweeted this story at me. Because obviously I'm a big Star Wars fan, as you didn't know this whole show.
Right.
What? But
I never would have guessed.
Yeah. But this is hilarious that this actually happened. Members of the congregation at a Latter-day Saint church in Minnesota may have noticed that there was a familiar but out-of-place face on the front of their church program on Sunday morning. That is because one of the images on the front cover of the church program did not have Jesus, but instead had Ewan McGregor as Obi-Wan Kenobi as Jesus Christ.
Hello there.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
That's my religion.
Right. Obi-Wan is coming to save you.
Hello there.
My God is a Jedi God.
Yeah.
Who's one with the Force.
Man. He doesn't have long parables or anything. He just shows up.
Hello there.
Hello there.
That's it. That's all he just shows up.
That's what happens on the third day.
Yeah. Hello there. How you doing?
Hello. Hey, guys.
Yeah, what's up?
That's awesome. So did somebody find a picture of him and like it's a white guy with long hair and a beard and a robe.
It must be Jesus. There you go. That's all you need.
So you hear that? Guys, if you got long brown hair and a beard and a robe, you're automatically Jesus.
There you go. You have your Halloween costume.
Perfect.
For the rest of your life.
I want to see that advertised as Halloween costume Obi-Wan/Jesus.
Yeah. Because it fits
both. Either way.
Right.
Either way.
It fits both.
If you get the brown robes, it's Obi-Wan. If you get the white robes, it's Jesus.
Even then, if you get the white, as long as it's like, as long as it's not like pure white, but if it's like an off white, even then it could be Obi-Wan.
Yeah. It's so versatile.
Yeah, very versatile.
This is so dumb.
Yep.
So they put this on their, on what was this, their like weekly bulletin thing?
Or? Their church program.
Okay.
Yeah, apparently they have program like going over well, like what's like, gonna happen in church.
Yeah, like a bulletin thing, like all the announcements, like this is the people doing mass and this is I don't know what do churches announce? Charities, I guess.
Yeah, something like that. Instagram user It's All Right 101 has claimed credit. He says that, quote, I've seen a lot out there where people think this is fake or was an accident. But I was fully aware of what I was doing, and I wanted to stick it to the church.
Wow.
There you go. Yeah, take that.
Damn.
This is what happens if you don't pay your graphic designer or your secretary or whatever that handles the designs and the artwork and stuff like that. This is what happens.
Honestly, though, this isn't really sticking it to them. This is like, I see this as a good thing. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
It's getting them lots of press.
Right.
This is having the exact opposite of sticking it to them.
The resemblance of Ewan McGregor's Obi-Wan and traditional depictions of Jesus had been noted before. In 2017, a popular Reddit post claimed that that a user replaced a picture of Christ with a picture of Obi-Wan Kenobi at his parents' house, and they have never found out.
Oh, my God.
So,
that's amazing.
There you go. Apparently, this is a phenomenon. So I'm going to encourage it. Wherever you see Jesus, slap on a picture of
there you go
of Ewan McGregor as Obi-Wan Kenobi.
In Obi-Wan Kenobi, we trust.
It is pretty similar.
It is really similar.
Yeah, so there you go. Praise be.
Hello there.
There you go. Praise be and hello there.
Oh, my God.
That's what I'm going with.
That's amazing.
Yep. Okay, let's do. I got to cut out some stories because I wasn't planning on this.
Everything is all topsy turvy now.
Right, I know. Now I'm on the. I feel like I'm on the. I got to adjust my game plan here. But I'm going to get.
Let's hope you're better than the Eagles.
Yeah, but I want to talk this story. I think you're going to love this story.
Okay,
because you love, like, kind of the idea of weird loopholes and stuff.
Right.
I think this guy has a case here.
Okay.
We're going to Iowa.
Oh, what state?
Because, of course.
Iowa. Yeah.
Because, of course, if there's going to be weird loopholes, it's going to be Iowa.
It's got to be Iowa.
An Iowa man serving a life sentence for murder claimed that his sentence was actually fulfilled because he had a near-death experience and was revived.
Oh.
Yo.
What do you think?
I think he's got a case.
Right?
Yeah.
If you have, quote, a life sentence.
He died.
And you almost die. Yeah, you have an experience.
His watch is ended. That's a Game of Thrones reference, Game of Thrones fans.
There you go.
No, because this happened in Game of Thrones.
What, did somebody had a life sentence?
A character, well, without getting too nerdy, a character dies, and they're supposed to be part of this group until they die, but then they're brought back. So after he's brought back, he's like, my watch is in, and he just bounces. Oh. He's like, I'm done. So this dude is a real-life Game of Thrones character.
There you go.
There you go. But I think he's got a point. He died. That's it. His life was over. Like, they can scientifically prove your heart stopped, your brain stopped, whatever. You were gone. They could have left him to die, but they chose to bring him back. That was not his choice, right?
So
you could argue that he died naturally. They brought him back. This is...
Yeah. So here's the full story.
Okay.
This is the case of Benjamin Schreiber. He was convicted of murder in 1997. He was hospitalized in March 2015 after large kidney stones caused him to develop septic poisoning.
Oh, so that sounds awful.
Yeah, this is not a good way to go.
No.
Years earlier, Schreiber did sign a do not resuscitate agreement.
Oh.
Yeah.
So he's really got a case here.
Right.
Not only did he die and they bring him back, but he specifically said, don't bring me back.
Yeah.
So I think he might actually have a case on the grounds of that they didn't follow proper procedure.
Well, here's the fly in the ointment.
Uh-oh.
Apparently, the medical staff were not aware of the agreement, so they instantly called his brother.
Oh.
When the brother answered, they said, please resuscitate him. So then the hospital administered resuscitation fluids through an IV, which then saved his life. However, during the process... his heart had to be restarted 5 times.
Oh, no. He was dead.
Yeah.
That's dead, man.
Five times. That
body wants to die. They brought him... you know, without getting too morbid, like, if the heart's like, nah, bro, I'm done. 5 times?
5 times.
If they had not been there constantly doing that, he would have died and his life sentence would have been over. They brought him back against his wishes... through extraordinary measures, because 5 times is extraordinary measures, and now they're forcing him to continue serving in prison. Now, he is a murderer. So, you know, you got to weigh your pros and cons. What was his original... I'm actually, like, legit curious now. What was his original... He was a murderer, right?
Yeah.
So, like, what was the case? Do you know? Like, was it, like, a crime of passion, or did he, like, methodically murder a whole bunch of people?
It just says he was convicted of murder. I don't have the backstory behind the murder.
Oh. Because, like, that, I think that could play into it. Because, like, if he's, like, I'm going to methodically murder someone versus, you know, not that a crime of passion's any better, but, you know.
So, he first filed with the local district court. But unfortunately, Judge Amanda Potterfield wrote a decision against him and found that his argument was unpersuasive and without merit. But he says that he's not giving up and that he is filing in the state for post-conviction relief for two reasons. One, he's claiming, obviously, that he was supposed to have died.
Right.
Because they said do not resuscitate him.
Right.
But also, he is listing... that his momentary death at the hospital should mean that his life sentence is fulfilled and therefore he should be a free man.
Right. Like he was it like scientifically was he dead? Then that was his first go around.
His heart was restarted 5 times. I would have to imagine at one point during those times he was.
It's like a video game.
Yeah.
Sonic has 3 lives to start. You bump into spikes, you lose a life, you respawn. That life is
when
gone.
When you respawn.
Right. The rings and everything you have with that life, they're gone. The rings are the criminal sentence. So, new life, new set of rings.
Yeah, there you go.
I think my Sonic logic checks out.
Yeah.
I don't know why I chose Sonic of all things. But, yeah, I agree with him.
Yeah.
Now, I don't want to put a murderer back on the streets. That would be stupid.
Yeah.
But... it's an interesting conversation, and I think they should at least give him a shot in court, at least hear the case.
Yeah.
He should be entitled to representation, and they should hear him out. You know, I think he's got a case on 2 different fronts. I'm, like, legit, like, separate of the odd news, interested in this, because this
Me too.
Is, this I, is I think, like, w- weirdly fascinating.
I think this is, I think he's got a case.
I think so too. On two grounds.
Right, on two grounds. Yeah, I mean, obviously the whole...
Not resuscitate, that's a big no-no.
Right.
Like, he had a written thing that's like, don't bring me back, and they brought him back. That's kind of messed up.
Right. But the actual argument that he almost died, therefore his life sentence...
Not almost. He died. They had to try to bring him back five times.
Yeah.
That's extraordinary measures.
Yeah.
That's not like, oh, my heart had a little flutter. Like, no, you were dead, and they had to fight and struggle to bring you back. You know? That's crazy, man.
It will be determined in the Iowa Court of Appeals.
Stupid Iowa.
So we'll see if he gets away with it. But unfortunately, on the local level, it was denied immediately. So I don't know. Mm. Maybe the state isn't going to entertain it.
Look, we know what type of state Iowa is. We'll just leave it at that.
It's a state.
It's a state. That's right.
It's a state.
What state? Iowa.
It's a state. Okay. Let me do.
Rich has got to juggle. Yeah, I know. He's got to pick and choose now.
Right, and I have to cut one. Like, I got like, oh.
It's like
they're like my children.
I know.
I don't want to cut one.
Well, you shouldn't be cutting children in the first place, but. All right, Billy. We got two men. That's got dark.
Yeah. All right. How about we do this story? This is another random story that I found that is just a weird tale here. It would be weird if you experience this.
Okay.
Mont Hardcastle. That's the name of a guy.
Mont Hardcastle. Mont, like mountain, like Mont.
Yeah, but this is Mont.
Mont.
What are you, Bond?
I don't know. I feel like with a name Mont. Like that, you have to pronounce it like that. Mont. Mont Hardcastle.
Mont Hardcastle.
It sounds like a British spy name. Mont Hardcastle. Hardcastle?
Yeah.
Is there a soft castle? Yeah. Are castles being made out of cheese? I don't know.
Well, this one's Hardcastle.
This is a Hardcastle. Okay.
Well, Mont Hardcastle is used to seeing interesting things running a bar and restaurant. But this time, Hardcastle saw something new while he was walking home from his job on Saturday night. He said that a man was running around in front of a store boutique, yelling and screaming and banging on the store's windows.
Ah! Oh, my God! Ah!
Ah! Yeah, so just going crazy.
Okay.
The boutique's name was My Dream Angels, and it is an adult store.
Okay.
It has several displays in its windows, including mannequins. When Hardcastle asked him what was the problem, the man suddenly screamed, "The mannequins are yelling at me! They need to be let out of the store!"
All right, that's not weird at all.
They're slaves!
The mannequins are yelling at me.
Yeah, and they need to break free.
Oh, my God. I want to break free. I don't know why you said that. It made me think of the Queen song. I want to break free. I'm stuck in the sex shop, and I need to...
I'm stuck in my dream angels.
Oh, God. I wish I knew more of that song to keep singing. But, yeah, that's something right there.
The crazed man, identified as James Isaac Short, then tried to break into the shop.
To save the mannequins.
Right. He tried the door several times, but to no avail. Then Short jumped onto a bench and drop-kicked the glass window.
Why?
Wow, this is like straight up WWE, just like, bam, drop-kick into the window.
There's so many better ways to approach that situation.
Hello!
Yeah, just bam, right through.
Yeah.
At that moment...
did he get in or no?
Yeah, that broke the glass.
Oh, that broke the glass?
Oh,
okay.
Yeah. Full-blown drop kick. That'll do it. At that point, Hardcastle yelled to his bartender to call the police. Then Short tried to grab the mannequin and run away.
Okay.
That's when Hardcastle then tackled him. So this guy's like, he's like the impromptu security there all of a sudden.
Yeah, really?
This poor guy just going home from his job at the bar.
And he has to stop a crime.
Yeah.
He's to save a mannequin from being saved.
Yep. He also notes that during the time that he got on top of him, Short tried to mule kick him several times in the back.
Oh my God.
This guy likes kicking.
Yeah, he does.
He drop kicks. He mules kicks.
He's a very kicky person.
He's got all the kicks. Then two women who were bystanders then came over and helped secure his legs until police arrived. According to the police report, Short caused more than $1,000 in damage. He destroyed the window, the accent lighting, because, you know, sometimes they have lightings on the mannequin.
Right.
Destroyed the mannequin.
Right.
And destroyed a security camera that was also nearby.
Man, that's a lot of damage.
Yeah, just for saving the mannequins.
Right.
Hardcastle says that he previously did have a background in security, so he felt that he had to do something.
Well, that was lucky.
Short is in the county jail facing property damage and burglary charges. So,
wow.
I hope it was worth trying to free those mannequins.
The mannequins were shouting at him and they needed to be free.
Yeah.
Man.
Can you imagine that? You're on your way home, just walking, you know, minding your own business. All of a sudden, this guy is just going crazy
just
at
going
the window.
Crazy.
Yeah, screaming and drop kicking. And
you know, I have to say, the people in these stories are a lot better than I am. Because if I saw that, I would have awkward 180'd right in the middle of the sidewalk and walked in and just left. I would have been like, you do you. You know, I'm not. This dude thinks a mannequin in a sex shop is talking to him.
Yeah.
This is not a person you want to engage with, okay?
Yeah.
You want to stay as far away from the people who think inanimate objects are talking.
All right. How about we get to our usual Florida stories?
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
Well, you know what? With Disney Plus coming out, I think this is an appropriate story.
Okay. All right, a Disney-themed odd news story from Florida? I'm concerned.
Yes, you are.
Oh, God. You're smiling far too much for this to be anything good.
A 51-year-old man decided on his visit to Disney World that he wanted to grope Princess Ariel. Oh, yeah, of course. Out of all the people, yeah. Why not get a little Princess Ariel action in?
Under the sea, grabbing the titties.
That's it. That's
all right, that's it. That's
right,
the whole song.
Right to the song.
I was waiting for the lyrics to kick in, but I'm sure there's an instrumental version.
Yeah.
Grab them. You know, I'm not going to say what I was going to say.
Do you want me to continue the story?
Yeah, I got to continue.
So investigators say that 51-year-old Brian Sherman... And his wife.
Oh, man. Why, Brian.
Why would you bring the wife if you're going to plan on doing this?
That's weird.
Yeah.
Maybe she was in on it. Maybe she liked it, too.
So they were visiting Walt Disney World's Magic Kingdom Saturday afternoon.
They went to Ariel's Grotto. That's a place.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're right.
I've been to Disney World before.
Yeah.
Twice.
You sound like you know your way around there.
I've actually never been to Ariel.
I know Princess Ariel. Yeah. No comment.
Everybody likes a redhead. No, I've never been to Ariel's Grotto.
Ah, okay. So, the worker told cops that a very excited Sherman placed...
Wait. Oh, hold on. We got to back up. When they say very excited...
Yeah, I think that's what you're thinking of.
Okay.
He first placed his arm around her shoulder and told her how much he loved Ariel...
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
I feel so bad for that poor girl.
Yeah. The victim was immediately uncomfortable with the defendant's touch.
Yeah. Because a 50-year-old dude just walked up to, like, a 20-year-old actress, and he's like, I really like you.
I love you. I love you!
Takes a deep whiff of her. I love you.
After they took a photograph, Sherman, cops alleged, then reached around the woman... And cupped her right breast.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah. She went right for it. Oh, yeah.
What a jerk.
The victim noted that she was only wearing a thin, skin-tight fabric.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's
because they're
costume.
In costume. Yeah.
Yeah. And you're right. This took place at Ariel's Grotto, where a rotation of female cast members dress as the star of The Little Mermaid. The Disney employees wear a red wig, a purple clamshell bra, and a green fishtail. At that point, that's when a Disney photographer and another employee directed Sherman to move away from the woman.
Mickey's going to break his kneecaps.
Yeah. When he was embarrassed.
Oh, did my hand slip? Did my hand slip?
When he was embarrassed, Sherman began shaking and crying.
Oh, my God.
I didn't mean to. Oh, my God. I just slipped and I felt your titty.
Bro, you're married.
Yeah, that's the word. Your wife is in the same park. What are you doing?
Was she in the picture with them?
I don't think so. It doesn't mention the wife after the initial sentence.
So they got there, and she's like, let's go on a ride. He's like, no, I'm going to Ariel's Grotto.
I got to go to Ariel's Grotto. I got to go there right now.
Oh, that's so weird.
Oh, that's got to be awkward for the wife.
Yeah.
You walk back, and you find out your husband groped.
Yeah, you get called on the PA system. It's like, come get your husband. And you go to, Disney has a secret underground bunker.
Mrs. Sherman, please come to Ariel's Grotto immediately.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Sherman was also identified by cops thanks to the photo.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Now you also have proof that he was literally there.
Oh, what an idiot.
He was arrested and charged with a misdemeanor count of battery. He was released after posting a $500 bond.
Why would you, first off, don't grope people. But secondly, why would you grope somebody in a character meet and greet where there are witnesses and also cameras?
Yeah.
Like, if you're going to be a terrible, horrible, pervy human being, do it where they're not going to easily catch you. You know, like, the logic of these people, he was just so overcome with his love of Ariel.
Yeah, oh boy.
He just couldn't resist.
Yeah.
What an idiot.
Yeah.
What a creepy, pervy idiot.
This cannot be made good. It's shameful. It's a shameful, shameful day.
That's what the wife was saying.
I feel really bad for that poor actress.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, because people that work at Disney World do it because they legitimately love doing what they do.
Yeah.
You know, and they're trying to be fun and friendly and make it magical for people. Then you get some creepy 50-year-old dude who's like, oh, whoops.
Hey, Ariel.
Sporting a raging erection probably.
How's that titty, Ariel?
Oh, wow. Under the sea, how about under the bra?
Yeah, under the bra.
Da, 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 da. Under the bra.
I want to feel what it's like under the bra.
Oh, man.
Give me that bra.
It's Little Mermaid 2.
Give me the tit.
That's what the prince did
after she
got her legs. Is that how Little Mermaid goes? I don't remember.
Give me the tit. I want to know where it is. Under the tit.
You secretly know Under the Sea really. Know. You know the pervy version of Under the Sea really well.
Yeah.
Under the bra. Yeah, that's messed up,
yeah.
Man.
This guy, he should be charged more than $500.
Yeah, like, that's what I never get about these things. It seems like such a like, yeah. Easy sentence, but like, I feel like if somebody really wanted to, they're like, yeah, I'll cop a feel. It's only $500. You know, there's no real consequences. But anyway.
Yeah. I got one more Florida story to end this on.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
A Florida man that was pulled over Sunday night for driving recklessly told police that he needed to get home in a hurry because he was cheating on his wife. Yeah, there you go.
Oh.
What a solid reason.
At least he fessed up to it, unlike the other people in the odd news that just come up with crazy excuses.
I have to get home. My wife's going to find out.
Right.
Cops report that 52-year-old John Earl Pickard was behind the wheel of a 2015 Honda that was going in excess of 90 miles per hour in a 55 mile per hour zone on Route 19. When stopped, Pickard was driving home. He reportedly indicated that his driving was reckless and endangering because he needed to get home in a hurry because he was cheating on his wife. So there you go.
That's a yes.
No yep. shame.
No shame. Just, yep, I have to get home or else my wife's going to find out. So hurry up. We need to get this going.
I'm pretty sure she's going to find out when you get arrested.
Yep. Pickard was busted for reckless driving. But then cops searched him post-arrest.
Uh-oh. And this is when they found all the drugs and guns and stuff.
You were right with your first instinct.
Okay.
They found a baggie with crack cocaine in his shirt pocket, which led to an additional felony drug possession count.
Wow.
So, yeah, there you
Yikes.
Go.
See that? A little bit of infidelity led to felony charges.
Because you done goofed.
Oh, yeah. This is a big goof. Pickard police reported spontaneously said, quote, I'm not a big drug deal. It only cost me $50.
What does that matter? This person is under the assumption that, like, he's just going to casually talk his way out of this by
Come
being
on.
As brutally honest with these cops as possible.
Come on. Are you really going to charge me with this?
Come on. It's only $50 worth.
$50?
Yeah, come on.
What are you going to do? Charge me?
What?
Yes, sir. That's exactly what we're going to do.
You see, the possession of any kind of drugs is what we would like to refer to in the law community as a crime.
Yes.
Why do people think
yeah.
that they can, like...
If it's a little amount, it's
they
not
can
a big
weasel
deal.
Their way out. Mm-hmm. Like, is there a... Do they think, like, there's a line? Like, oh, well, if it had been $51 worth of crack cocaine, that's one thing. But $50, that's all right.
Run while there's still time. Everyone is smoking crack. But it's only a matter of time before they're overwhelmed. Run when you can!
Yeah. Pickard was released from the county jail late Sunday night after posting a $2,250 bond. So.
He's back to his cheating, drug-taking ways.
Yep. And there you go. That's what I have for you this week in the non-Fortune Cookie Odd News. But before we officially close out the show, let's go over what have we learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
As your body grows bigger,
your mind must flower.
It's great to learn,
because knowledge is power.
All right, Mike, what have you learned on this episode?
I learned that there was a deleted scene from The Little Mermaid. They had done a reprisal of Under the Sea, but it was called Under the Bra. And it's what happens when Ariel gets to be with the prince.
Right, right.
They decided, you know what, it just didn't fit in the movie. They had to cut something, so they lost that number. But luckily, Rich brought it back for us with a stunning, just beautiful rendition. Yeah.
Under amazing. The bra. Ooh la la la. Under the bra.
Ah, bravissimo. I also learned... that I can say bravissimo whenever I need to.
Yes.
That if you die during a life sentence and are then brought back, you should go free.
Yeah.
That's the Sonic the Hedgehog logic.
You served a life sentence.
That's right. Your life was completed. Anything after that, it's extra.
Yeah, that's bonus.
You know, you're free to go.
Bonus life.
Exactly. Exactly.
Video game logic.
That, you said earlier video game logic works
yes.
in economics, so here you go.
Video game logic.
Oh, it never fails us.
Yep. Is that
I'm just thinking of video game logic. I'm thinking all the crazy things that happen in video games, like eating random food out of trash cans to heal yourself.
Well, don't do that.
Don't do that one. But something you can do is pray to Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah.
Apparently he's Jesus.
I think he's just as good. Yeah,
oh,
there you go.
Even better.
Right.
I mean, the Force is basically Catholicism.
Right.
You know?
It all fits.
It all works out.
You wear robes, you got long hair, you got a beard.
Constantly praying to this magical force that surrounds you.
Yeah. Yeah, it's legit.
Checks out. I also learned that cops apparently have a measuring system for determining the amount of poop in buckets.
Somehow.
Like, they knew this bucket is a month of poop. Not a week or 2 weeks, but a month.
Yeah, that's nasty.
It makes me wonder what they do during their off time.
Yeah.
And finally, I learned that if you attack Star Wars with Rich, he will write a 95 Theses-style text message back to you.
Yes, I will. So.
And defend it valiantly and with great evidence and passion.
Yes. So, watch out.
Yeah, fair warning.
Yeah. Come at me, bro. And there you go. That's what we learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't f***ing know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Yes, sir.
I'm f***ed if I know what we did.
Oh, man. And just like that, another interesting episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast is coming to a close. Even when I have plans, things got to be adjusted. I can't believe that story broke literally in the middle of recording the podcast.
And I'm glad it did because, I mean, it was amazing.
Yeah.
Terrifying, but amazing.
I saw it.
Yeah.
And I had to mention it. I cannot not mention.
When you see a headline come across your phone that has the word poop in it.
Poop bucket.
I mean.
No, you're bucket of poop.
Bucket of poop.
Yeah, I have to read it. Why is this on NBC?
Well, thank you, NBC.
Yeah.
For bringing us the hard-hitting news we need.
That's right. And this is the stuff that you can expect here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Sports, entertainment, and odd news. If you like what you heard, make sure to check out our website, thecrispynoodle.com. Make sure to like us on Facebook, The Crispy Noodle, and on Twitter, at The Crispy Noodle, and on Instagram, at The Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. You can also subscribe to our channel on YouTube. But most importantly, remember to subscribe to The Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. You get the latest episodes downloaded for free every Thursday. So make sure you search for, download, and subscribe to The Crispy Noodle Podcast on the podcast service of your choice.
That's right, and we also have a SoundCloud page where we have the mini noodles, the best bits of the show, shrunk down to a quick promo that you can easily listen to with friends and family, the craziness that is the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right, so many ways to share and get in touch with the Crispy Noodle Podcast, but if you want to get in touch with us individually to share your sports, entertainment, and odd news stories, you can find us both on Twitter. I'm at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
And I am at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig. You can find us on the Twitters. Let us know what's happening. And if there's any odd news stories, send them my way.
That's right.
Or if there's anything else you want us to talk about, let us know. Shoot our way, and we'll give you a Crispy Noodle shout-out if we use it on the podcast.
That's right. All the poop stories go to Rich.
Yes, that's right. That's my lot in life. It all comes to me.
That's right.
But for right now, we got to wrap this episode up. This has been the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. That'll do it. We'll see you guys next week.
See you guys
later.
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
Hello, it is I, your good friend and former President Barack Obama. It's been a while. I'm joined by the leader of the ghost clergy, Cardinal Popia.
How you doing, United States of America?
I'm well, but now you may be asking yourself,
why are we here?
Well, it's 2019 and nothing makes sense anymore. But anyway, in my retirement and during his infernal time away from the clergy, we've both been listening to a few podcasts.
Ones that will make the asses wobble!
Yes, those are good ones, but we also need ones that bring us hope and change. One in particular with sports, entertainment, and odd news.
You give them a listen and a clappity-clap, yes?
Yes, a round of applause for our favorite podcast.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast 2019!
Oh.